Thanks.
We take a motion to report. Time being 6:30, I would like to begin our meeting and, as always, commence with our opening statement. Council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional country of the Paramangangana people. We pay our respects to elders, sorry, to ancestors and elders past and present, as the custodians of this ancient and beautiful land. Together, we will care for this place for the generations to come, and in this context, the decisions we make should be guided by the principle that nothing we do should decrease our children's ability to live on this land. We do have one apology from Councillor Huxter. We have a pre-approved leave of absence for the Mayor, and we do have one request for a leave of absence from Councillor Boyd. Councillor Sheedy, you're happy to move as printed on the screen. Thank you. We have a seconder, Councillor Selwood. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. We have nobody absent. The minutes of the previous meeting, someone like to move something in relation to that?
Yes,
Councillor Penn? Circulated. We have a seconder. Councillor Mudge. All those in favour, please indicate. That is also carried unanimously. Do we have any declarations of conflict of interest regarding tonight? Councillor Cheeto.
Yes, I'll be having a general conflict item 12.2, our community centre funding agreement.
Thank you. Any other conflicts of interest? Okay, we'll move on to item 6. Yes, Councillor Selwyn.
I've upset leave of the meeting to make a personal explanation.
Sure. Do we have leave of the meeting? Leave is granted.
It's with a very heavy heart that I will be tendering my resignation from Adelaide Hills Council at the end of this meeting. Late last year, I was pre-selected as the lead candidate for the Greens at the March state election. If I'm successfully elected to Parliament, I will have to resign from Council at that time. A resignation from Council in March would result in my seat remaining vacant until the next general elections in November 2026. As a by-election is being triggered in my ward after the resignation of Councillor Pauline Gill, there is an opportunity for the residents of Valleys Ward to elect not just one, but two councillors who will serve the Adelaide Hills Council until the very end of the term. Those councillors will be able to put all of their focus into serving the community until the next general election. I believe that having a full contingent of councillors is the best outcome for the residents of the Adelaide Hills. It is therefore my intention to step aside to allow another person to fill the position to represent Valleys Ward. I'm proud of what we've achieved as a collective of 12 people. We came together to represent our communities, bringing our diverse backgrounds, views and values. It's publicly known that this has been a turbulent term of council, and I don't shy away from the impact those difficulties have had on our residents, staff and elected members. Some of the decisions we've had to make have been tough and unpopular, but we've worn that and moved forward. My experience for the most part is that we've been able to work constructively to solve problems, represent our residents and provide voices for different constituencies. It's my fundamental belief that all viewpoints should have some form of representation in a strong democracy. We've achieved that here, and that has often been the source of difficult debates, opposing views and interpersonal conflict. I want to thank Acting Mayor Nathan Daniel for his calm, measured and collaborative leadership. I've learned much from him and his ability to work across different viewpoints to try and achieve consensus where possible. I know he will steer a steady ship through the next chapter of by-elections and the introduction of new elected members in both wards. I also want to extend a huge thank you to the staff whose dedication to the Adelaide Hills is demonstrated in every conversation I have with them. The Adelaide Hills have been the home, my home for most of my life. I've lived overseas and interstate at various times, but I always return to the land of the Paramunk people. The majestic red gums, the rolling hills, the dedicated locals and the sense of the community are at the core of who I am. I remain passionate about our shared commitment to the hills, to protect our environment and support people. I leave knowing that all of those who remain share that commitment and will do their best to steward the council with good intentions and care. I'd like to seek leave of the meeting to include my remarks in the minute.
Sure, do I have leave of the meeting to include those remarks? Not motion, formal.
Oh, need to move. Yeah.
I'd like to move a motion. And do we have a seconder? Councillor Chilos, so your hand first. All those in favour, please. Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to opening remarks. And I recognise that there is a lot to digest for our council over the last week. So I do have a little bit to say. We should not avoid the fact that we are in a time of transition as an elected body. In the past week, three of our elected members have resigned, each for different reasons. Tonight, I want to acknowledge the contributions by those elected members, address some concerns which have been raised, and focus on how we can move forward, guided by a collective commitment to the community. With regard to the resignations, I'd like to acknowledge the time and energy former Councillor Pascali invested into ensuring we have focused more closely on gender equality, both as a council and a sector. Former Councillor Pascali made some assertions regarding the reasons for her resignation, and I would like to again put on the record that we disagree with those and that council is committed to strongly representing our position regarding the boundary change proposal. Our passionate and dedicated staff will continue to provide a broad range of services to Woodford and Ross Trevor, such as the mobile library service, verge management, footpath, irrigation works, park and recreational facility upgrades, and general amenity improvements. Affected residents can also utilise the Summer Community Centre, a fantastic offering in a beautiful location. I'd also like to acknowledge former Councillor Gill's passion for supporting recreational facilities. I worked closely with her when developing the Community Recreation Facilities Framework. This is a strategic and important document that has ensured more equitable funding for council and community on their sites. However, it's also important to reiterate that we strongly disagree with her assertions regarding any bullying and harassment. We uphold the principle that all elected members are accountable to the same behavioural standards and provide a number of support and reporting options should they feel their standards are in breach. I am personally committed to doing everything I can to foster a safe and supportive environment. Finally, I'd like to thank Councillor Selwood. Throughout the term, you have been an active and meaningful contributor to the organisation. You always stuck to your values and represented what you felt was the best decision for our community. In particular, I'd like to thank you for your strong and empathetic leadership as Deputy Mayor during what was a challenging time. As you know, being a councillor is not an easy role, so I thank both Ms. Pascali, Ms. Gill, and still Councillor Selwood for their service to the community and wish them well for the future. Despite the challenges we've faced, we've continued to deliver for our community, and this is something that should not be lost. This term, together, we have ensured the continued delivery of core services, both capital projects such as roads and footpaths, along with operational services such as our libraries. We secured funding for Amy Gillett Bikeway, something which works well advanced in. Opened the long-awaited Fabric Arts and Cultural Precinct, revived community forums to strengthen resident engagement, endorsed a new carbon management plan, launched a new CRM system for better service delivery, trial weekly FOGO, approved that Innovate Reconciliation plan, commenced construction on the splash park at Woodside Pool, and much more. Most importantly, we developed a high-quality strategic plan. This is an innovative document with principles that should guide all our decision-making in this chamber. So where to from here? This is ultimately up to us. In this room, including those elected members who cannot be here this evening, there is a lot of diversity, our values, political leanings, and skills. This is a strength, and I have said this before, that if we all voted in the same way, what would be the point in being here? To get the most out of this diversity, though, we must work together, both the elected body and the administration. By working together with honesty, respect, and shared purpose, we can ensure that not only continue to deliver for our residents, and enhance the experiences that they have with us at our council. I look forward to welcoming three new councillors to this chamber and encourage residents who are passionate about making a difference to consider nominating for the role. It is a truly rewarding way that we can contribute to our community. All right.
Question?
Yes.
Is that to be incorporated in the minutes?
Verbatim?
Only with emotion, I guess.
Oh, so move it. I think that's short and excellent report and should be available.
Thank you, Councillor Hearn. No seconder, Councillor Parkin. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. So we move on to item 7. We have no questions adjourned, no questions lying on the table. We have no petitions, but we do have two deputations tonight. The first is from Brian Donaghy regarding the proposed pontoon jetty construction at Wirrabin Bushland Reserve. If you'd like to come forward, are you speaking with Mr. Cornell?
Yes.
Yep, so Alistair Cornell, if you'd like to come forward as well. So with our deputations, we have 10 minutes and additional 5 minutes for questions in relation to the deputation. So once you sit down, there's a little button at the front of that microphone. Perfect. And your time starts now. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll read this because I'm not very good at speaking off the cuff. I won't go too long. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to do this. My name, as you know already, is Brian Donaghy. I'm the chair of the committee of the Friends of Wirrabin Bushland Reserves. My colleague here is Alistair Cornell, who some of you probably know already as a volunteer with community, Stirling Community Garden. He's also a member of the Wirrabin Bushland Reserves Friends Committee. And he's a regular working bee volunteer with us. And if you have any technical questions about, you know, native vegetation or fungi or the importance thereof, he's housekeeping. He knows more than I do. We'd like to thank you, the mayor, his fellow councillors, and the council staff for this opportunity to bring you up to date with Wirrabin Bushland Reserves and the challenges that we face, particularly in the light of the bizarre proposal to spend up to $50,000 build a new jetty in the heart of a heritage area, which would only benefit a small yacht club with just 16 paid-up members, most of whom don't even live in the Adelaide Hills. Just to be sure of where we're putting up, that's Wirrabin Lake, that's what is the subject of this whole thing. As you know, the Adelaide Hills Council has had the Wirrabin Bushlands classified as a conservation area for years. Even before 2019, when the state government and the council agreed that the reserves should be given native heritage, native vegetation heritage status, which provides the area, or is supposed to provide the area, with protection in perpetuity. Now, I do gratefully acknowledge the time and effort your biodiversity officers put into looking after the area. They do a great job with limited resources. We are well aware that Wirrabin is not the only AHC reserve, and that time, money, and human resources are in short supply, particularly at the moment. As volunteers, our resources are even more limited, but we are happy to be the council's eyes and ears on the ground. I specifically like to thank CEO Greg Jotopoulos, who found the time at fairly short notice recently to discuss the proposed jetty with the patron of the Friends of Wirrabin, the Professor Chris Daniels, and myself. There is constant pressure to turn the reserves into a city park, with active recreation such as mountain bikes, promotional events, free roaming dogs, kayaks, fishing, swimming, and heaven knows what else. There is a place for all of these, but Wirrabin Bushlands is not it, but it happens. It happens a lot. In fact, this afternoon I had a phone call from a member of the public who asked if we could do anything about all the fishing that was going on in the lake. City complained to the council several times, but nothing happens. We've seen up to 10 people fishing in Wirrabin Lake on time, despite the fact that it's banned. There's an example of what we're talking about. And this next photograph is just one of the reasons why it's not a very good idea to have fishing in a recreation area. This is one of Wirrabin's moorings being disentangled. The pressure to turn it into an urban park comes in the main from people who are focused on their particular passion. And they don't understand, or they don't care about the importance of preserving remaining areas of high biodiversity for the benefit of all. Now, I understand that the proposal for the pontoon jetty arose following a routine review of council assets. That threw up the fact that the existing concrete bank jetty doesn't meet current standards. And replacing it with a pontoon jetty seemed to somebody like a good idea, but nobody asked, do we need to have a jetty there at all? This is a photograph from the far side of the lake, and that steel and concrete creation there is a viewing platform, and then the boat's jetty would come out from just the left-hand side of it, out into the lake for 6 or 8 meters. The general public doesn't need a jetty. They're not allowed to fish, swim, or go boating on the lake. And all those activities are already banned. The Model Yacht Club, which uses the lake on Wednesdays, doesn't need a jetty either. There is a similar yacht club at West Lakes, for example, and they don't have a jetty. And we wonder if anyone has considered the public liability aspect of building an unsupervised jetty 6 or 8 meters out into the lake in an area where young and very young kids frequently come to watch the ducks and other wild birds. The council's current community land management plan for conservation reserves, which is, I think, being circulated, says that if a minor proportion of the conservation area is already being used for purposes other than conservation, then, and I quote, any improvements on that portion of the land must not impinge on the majority of the land with conservation values. 6 or 8 meter T-shaped jetty would certainly impinge on Wurrubinda Lake, which is a key part of the area's conservation value. Wurrubinda Lake is not just a pretty place. Roughly halfway between Narrakinga and Mount Barker and the wetlands of the Wake, it's a resting place and a refuge for many water birds, with extensive reef beds that provide shelter and nesting sites for resident wildfowl. That's one of the visitors. It's an Australasian darter. The council policy further states that where there are recreational or other activities prior to the area being set aside for conservation, and this applies to the yacht club, it must, and again I quote, prevent the encroachment of those activities and facilities onto that portion of the land of conservation significance. If the council was to spare $50,000 to spend on Wurrubinda, we would suggest that the money could be better spent on repairing some of the walking trails, particularly in Henry Reserve, and on hiring contractors to continue work on some of the more entrenched weeds, such as gorse, blackberry, and gloxonia. Building a pontoon jetty is just an open invitation for people to use the lake for fishing, boating, and swimming. What else is a jetty for? We're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Do any elected members have questions? Yes, Councillor Lunch.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. My question is actually to the administration. I believe there's a heritage agreement over Wurrubinda. Is that public? And do we understand what the full limitations that that puts on that, that reserve?
Through you, Acting Mayor, I can't see why it can't be made public. So we're happy to distribute that to elected members.
Thanks,
that's
just a bit of extra information.
I do have one question. Where exactly is the proposed project at? What stage is it at? What options does the council have? And yeah, just what the current status is.
Sure. Thank you for the question. And through you, Acting Mayor, we've pressed pause on the project. What we're doing is looking at holding a forum with all the different stakeholders and meeting with all the users of Wurrubinda, also further to that, see if we could develop a new, master plan or grand plan for Wurrubinda and clearly articulate what the vision is for the space, not just the next couple of years, but 10 or 20 year period. So at the moment, we've stopped works. Until we've brought the key stakeholders and the community along and make sure that they're happy with what we're suggesting the improvements might be.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, Councillor Brown.
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. Look, thank you for coming in to speak with us. It's clear that you consider yourself a stakeholder at Wurrubinda. Perhaps just to give us some understanding of that, could you describe some of the work that friends of Wurrubinda have done on the reserve?
Yeah, well, the main thing we do is every month we have two working bees. Yeah. Well, we're basically getting rid of invasive weeds and Our listeners, one of the regular members, we've been tendering some football maybe on that.
I do a Thursday where I can be where for a couple of hours. We go out with SIFs, sometimes the Devin Blackberry of Botanicals, and we remove invasive species. We do quite a thorough job in patches, and then we will return at different times, at certain times of year, when things are most likely to be more receptive to being removed. And getting on top of clearing waterways and all sorts of woodland reserves, and getting some of the larger invasive wattles out at the same time. So just to, it's a wonderful thing to be able to do with a lot of group and a lot of people that are really interested and have some excellent knowledge. I'm only relatively new, and yes, it's been an excellent experience.
Something that's been going on for decades.
In addition to that, we have another reason, which you're welcome to come and defend ourselves. We wouldn't have voted for us, but then certainly you're right to speak. So what we do and what we discuss in detail, there are quite a few things that come up need to be dealt with. But basically, we are the eyes and ears for the council on the ground, because we're involved in it every day and we're looking at it every day. And we can draw attention to things that need to get fixed or whatever. And we also help to produce a couple of leaflets for the general public. There are thousands of people come to them every year. And we have the working trails leaflet, and the more general welcome to world in the leaflet, and both of which are funded by the council. And we produce them.
Councillor
Hearn,
final question.
Yes, so perhaps to the administration. You mentioned fishing, I was most impressed with the 6 fishermen up there. In a light-hearted manner, I could ask, are they ever successful?
Is it fishing something that we can manage at the moment? We have powers over our bylaws to prevent fishing in conservation areas of the parks.
Yes, sorry,
my mic's not working. through you acting there. Thank you. Yes, fishing is an activity under the North Melbourne Land Bylaw that you need permission from council to undertake. And I just did a quick search about CRM system while they were speaking. I can see there have been a couple of reports for illegal fishing in Woorabinda. And unfortunately, it looks like it's occurring later in the day when staff are not working. So we do have a 7-day roster for our rangers who can enforce this kind of take enforcement action, but we are limited to a degree around staff being on shift. So we'll have a chat to the team and see if we can do some later inspections of the site. But certainly we do take action when it's reported to us and our intent.
Maybe trying to fish to eat at lunchtime or something like that. Now that should be some comfort to you. There is a provision already existing to manage the fish site.
All right, thank you guys for coming on and presenting to us tonight. We really appreciate it. Thank you for your time and look forward to engaging with you about this.
Thank you.
Okay, so we do have a second deputation from the SATC regarding the Cool Down Under, and we have this Terry who will be presenting to us today. So we've heard this 10 minutes for the presentation itself and an additional 5 minutes for questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Acting Mayor. Thank you, councillors. Thank you to the executive. And my name is Emma Terry. I'm the Chief Executive for the South Australian Tourism Commission. I'm joined by several of my colleagues. So I've got Stuart Brady, who's the Race Director for the TDU, the Town for Chief looks after events, and Chloe, who's our event coordinator for the TDU as well. And they can answer any questions when we get to that part of the presentation. So the Tour Down Under, I think Adelaide Hills knows it well. We've been a long-term supporter of the hills. For us, we see that the Tour Down Under is really very multi-level. It's more than just being able to deliver an amazing world-class event. It does deliver really strong community benefits, economic returns, which are obviously very, very critical, but also that exposure for the hills as well. So I thought we'd touch on all of those three areas today in the presentation. What's really fundamental to the Tour Down Under, I think what makes it such a special race in Australia, but also in the events calendar for South Australia, which is why was keen to talk to you all tonight is from a South Australian Tourism Commission perspective, we see it as absolutely a way to showcase our many, many beautiful regions, particularly the hills, to a broadcast that's local, national, and international. And not all our events are able to achieve that. It really comes out of those stadiums into the hills, bringing it into the local community. But fundamental to that is the partnership to make sure that those benefits are realised and that we can deliver that for South Australians. And local councils are a really fundamental part of that. You are a fundamental part of that partnership and that collaboration, along with other government agencies. This is an important important event for the state more holistically. We do work up with other departments to make sure that we're delivering all of the elements of this race. Obviously, many more moving components to it, which is why we work in such close collaboration as well. It's actually been part of the Hill since 1999, which is pretty amazing. So we're really, really proud of where we are to work with you and your community on that, really, that period of time as well. So beyond, I guess, what we wanted to start with was less around the economics at this point and more around the community piece, because I think that is really quite extraordinary and unique to the event as well. And your community really does get behind it extraordinarily. Everything from some of our best dressed town competitions, which actually, looking at what happened last year in 2025, there was literally a clean sweep up here in terms of some of those prizes as well, which was pretty amazing. So we run a lot of associated events in partnership with council as well. So I'm going to move over to some of those. Everything from the best dressed towns that we talked about, but also things like, and which really I think is a fantastic example of community getting behind this, is you've got younger people working with older people, so retirement village, coming together called the Bunting Babes, decorating, putting together amazing bunting and decorating Summertown shops, raising all around the race, making sure that community connection, that fabric of community, is really visually displayed through those type of activities. You've also got there, obviously, your some of your other activities as well that you've done as part of the community, strong community benefits, which is, and all of the often those that prize money goes to local initiatives as well. So the community piece is really, really strong. We've seen that Adelaide Hills really engaged with that at all different levels, which is fantastic. I think also when we had the bushfires a number of years ago, the community was recovering from that. The Tour Down Under was really able to get behind that recovery, bringing the race routes. Stuart made a few changes to the routes to make sure that they were coming through the Adelaide Hills and really supporting that local community. And our riders, who are so important to this as well, really get behind those efforts. They met with local community. Here, this was some local some local activity that happened around developing the wood signage here that the races were involved in, and all of their prize money was actually donated to that bushfire recovery as well. So it not only helped that community piece, but also really sort of shone the spotlight on the hills at a time when it was recovering from that as well. And, you know, there's a great quote up there from Richie before talking about that close connection that our riders have to this race, but also to the communities that they're racing through, like the Adelaide Hills. Continuing on with those community benefits, the hills, and you talked about some of the cycling earlier in your meeting this evening with the Amy Gillett track as well. Here, I think the hills really do embrace cycling. We've got a very active community, but that cycling culture lasts beyond the Tour Down Under itself. See, we see many, many cyclists coming to the hills during the event, but that lasts year round, including repeat visitation, but people see from Adelaide as well enjoying outings into the Adelaide Hills, as well as your local community as well, which brings continued spending of money in local businesses as well. So there is that really lasting piece beyond the actual race itself. Your racing club as well, the Adelaide Hills Cycling Racing Club, not only hosts the actual some of the event, but they do a number of group rides for locals as well, participating in the TDU, so you really have something to come back in there. So community is really, really important at the heart of this, and we continue to work with you on that. Now, the economic returns is obviously a really important aspect to all of this as well. Here's some from the some of the latest stats and figures from the 2025 tour down under. Some of these are quite large numbers, but we've really drawn them down into the Adelaide Hills. And I think last time we were presenting here, we wanted to see some of the Adelaide Hills specific data. So here's some of it. So 243,000 people attending the races in the Adelaide Hills, 3.3 million regional expenditure by visitors staying in the Adelaide Hills for the event, 21,500 visitors to the Adelaide Hills over that period of time, 20,100 visitor nights in the Adelaide Hills. They're knowing that they're staying in accommodation, they're going out and about, seeing attractions, and also spending money on food. And 66% of visitors choose to stay overnight when they're coming to the hills for the race. So a really, really important part of a boost for local local businesses and the economy here as well. Yeah, we've also heard that, of course, and the reason why we're presenting tonight is the council investment in this as well. We have absolutely heard from councils in terms of their the cost to participate from our perspective. We spoke about that previously and we really listened to that and we've waived those costs to participate for councils, recognising that the partnership and the additional benefits that council provide for the race. We're really lucky to have some of the local businesses writing letters of support, but also being here tonight as well, so we thank you for that. I won't read all through these quotes, but you'll see some common themes around how businesses have embraced this race and what that means in terms of economic delivery for them, boosting business, obviously employing locals as well. So I think you've got some really great love for the Tour Down Under through the local businesses and the benefits that it delivers to them during the race and beyond that as well. So a couple here from Emma and Ivy, from Brunswick Brew, Sterling Hotel and Vinterlopa as well. So quite dispersed across the hills, as well as the Summit Cafe and local bakery as well, all writing and sort of talking about the benefits that the race delivers to them. Local national global exposure is the other part of it, certainly from an SATC perspective, being able to, we're a massive band of the hills in terms of it from a tourism region, all that it offers. We want to continue to promote that. The race is just another way to be able to do that. Really shining spotlight. It's very unusual that you'll be able to get 11 hours of a commercial. So 11 hours of broadcast on the Adelaide Hills is really invaluable. The amount of social media posts, impressions, and people really embracing the hills and the content with the race being the reason to engage is marketing, a really good marketing investment and very hard to achieve through normal channels without a particular without being able to leverage off something as amazing as the Tour Down Under. Great. I did have a video to showcase, but maybe we'll skip over the video. I guess we wanted to end and close by saying it's really more than a race. Council's partnership is really critical and important to the event. It delivers on multi-layers, from your community, getting behind that, having a race come to you rather than having to go see an event in a stadium, through to being able to deliver those economic benefits, visitation, and that year-round culture of cycling as well. So we very much value the partnership that we have had with Adelaide Hills. We see Adelaide Hills is really fundamental to the Tour Down Under, and to be able to deliver those benefits to community. So we want to take the opportunity to thank you for that partnership that we've had over the long term. We hope it continues well into the future and continue to work together to deliver those community and economic benefits, business benefits to the LA region. So thank you.
Thank you for coming along presenting. Councillor Mudge, do you have a question?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. My question is actually to the administration. What is the quantum of the amount of money that the administration have assessed is required to support next year's Tour Down Under, and what would that be spent on?
I think, through the chair, originally it was considered around the $80,000 mark. It may be slightly less than that because I think a lot of the fees have been waived. The vast majority of that money goes on traffic management around the events, and then some other around the activation that we do for the bathroom finishes.
Any further questions from like the members? Councillor Curran, and then Councillor Hannan.
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. Thank you for coming to speak to us. And I don't think anyone in the chamber would disagree with a single thing you've said. How good would the event be for this like name change?
From the Tour Down Under?
From the Santos Fossil Fuel Company of Tour Down Under. That,
that's not the name. You can choose to answer that or not, it's up to you.
I think we'll say that it's a free event. It requires collaboration and partnership with Santos providing significant funding to enable us to bring this to local communities. Obviously it does get raised for us. They're part of that kind of green transition and future and are working towards that as we all are as well. But certainly they're a really important part to enable us to bring this race into local communities. Yes, we say it is free for locals to be able to come and enjoy a world class event. And so don't do that with being important partners.
A question, not thank you for your presentation, more so to the administration. Clearly, you've come here tonight seeking restoration of the last year's funding. So, to you, Acting Mayor, if I were to move a motion without notice later in the meeting to refer this deputation to the review process, the public consultation process of the annual business plan, so it could go into the mix. And can be considered with other competing priorities. Would you accept it as a motion without notice?
My understanding is that it is already formed part of the consultation process, along with a number of other initiatives that didn't quite make the cut. So we are actively asking our community about those particular line items and their thoughts about it. We've obviously had some communication lately from the letters that we've received. I've had time to read them in detail. About support from local community associations and businesses for the event. So that would be included as part of the budget consultation process.
I just thought it would be appropriate if this chamber formally preferred their deputation onto the review process.
I think it's superfluous in a way. I won't reject the motion, that's what you're going to do.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Parkin.
Thank you. This is also a question to the administration. So I know that the presentation there is reference to some of the fees and charges being waived. Do we have an amount? Do you know what that amount is that is fairly generously being waived?
So the fees and charges have varied from year to year, depending on what stages we have, whether they're starts or finishes. I'm not sure, Sarah, if you're comfortable to disclose those values or not. If not, I can provide them to you, Councillor Parker.
I'll do it offline. I don't have them.
Sure. Okay. No problem. Any final question? Okay. Thank you very much for coming along. So, as I did mention, it's obviously we can't make a decision around budgets this evening without some sort of motion or notice or consultation process. We do really appreciate all of you coming out and offering up your time to talk to us and let us know your thoughts.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so we do have the public forum now, which is an opportunity for anyone in the gallery who might like to speak to council, and that can be on any issue. Does anyone in the public forum wish to speak this evening? Ed Baker, please come on up. Given you're learning one, you've got 5 minutes.
I won't take nearly as much as 5 minutes. Hello everyone, David Baker, here at the local community association. I just like to add some remarks to the previous presentation. And very briefly, I think I have written to several members expressing the community association's view. But I think to add to that last presentation, I've had a number of small business owners approach me in Logan's Hall who are quite anxious about the lack of certainty around the event going into 2026. I just wanted to convey that to this forum. So particularly the Logan's Hall Beer House, Emma and Ivy's have approached me, and it's just some just some general sort of uncertainty and unease about it. Also in the town, there is a growing accommodation sector, and something like the Tour Down Under is a very good opportunity to, you know, encourage that to grow. And the other thing I would like to say is that the local community association is actually looking at how we can better support those riders who are more amateur and who visit our town after the event's been and gone, who regularly pop into either Emma and Ivy's or the local hotel, local beer house, doing a loop from the city up into the hills, and then finishing their loop, either going home via Cuddly Creek or home via the local road. We are seeing increasing traffic from these folk, and we'd like to see it continue and support it. Any questions for me?
Sorry, 2 seconds. Is there any questions, Councillor Silver?
Thank you, and thanks for your comments. Some of the letters that we've received from a number of organisations make me wonder what the community's understanding is of what our support is and isn't for the event. And I'm just wondering, it feels as though there's council are not supportive at all of the event, which we have no motion that says that. So I'm just wondering what the community's understanding is of what level of support people believe that we have in the event.
Certainly. I think you're right. I mean, I don't think many people quite understand how the sausage is made and council's role in it. And that's why being, I guess, very transparent about, you know, how plans are announced or not announced is very important, because you're dealing with a populace who, will engage with council when they have to, and take for granted an almost from a perspective of not really appreciating the role of council and both the administration and the elected body has or does until something looks out of place. And I think with the Courier article of last week, people saw that article and started asking questions. I know that Alistair Turnbull of the Beer House came up to me on Sunday and he was quite, agitated about it. And Rose Turnbull came up to me on Friday and was very agitated about it. And I think that's a challenge for council, because it's a tier of government that people do take for granted. Yeah. So being overt and being quite clear is probably the most important thing.
Yeah, so we'll have two more questions, Councillor Chair and then Councillor Hardy.
Once again, I think I can also this one offline.
Sure, Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you. I actually really appreciate Councillor Selwood's question, because I was just wondering if I missed something.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever had a motion that we didn't support it at all. So I was going to ask that question.
We don't have a motion that doesn't support that. Our current budget does not provide the in-kind support that is normally required for the Tour Down Under to be through the hills in the way that it has traditionally been. That's the support we've paid in the past. In addition to that, as Ms. Terry explained, sometimes in the past we've had fees for stages. Those now waived, but there has, whenever we've run the Tour Down Under in the past, had in-kind support, which Mr. Lewis indicated was today around $80,000, but it might be less than that.
Okay.
So at this point, that's not in the budget. So that's why they've come to present to us to express concern.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, thank you for coming along. Really appreciate taking time out of your week night.
My pleasure.
Okay, with no one else to speak in the public forum, we will move on. We have no presentations, no questions, no motions on notice, which brings us to the administration reports. The first one around the appointment of the Building Fire Safety Committee membership. Ms. Chung, do you have any new information to provide the chamber? No, would someone like to move something in relation to this item? Councillor March, what would you like to move?
I'd like to move the motion.
Wish to speak to the motion?
Just briefly, it's an important committee, this one. And if you actually look at our organisation structure in our annual business plan, you actually see this committee sitting off to the side of it. It's actually a legislative committee that is composed under, I believe it's the PDI, and it's responsible for building fire safety within our council district. And it is actually quite a powerful committee in some senses, but it's really important that this committee has people who are very qualified on it, know what they're doing. This is really, another renewal of a term for 3 years. I think the top two people are already on the committee, so that's correct, yeah. So I think this is a really important appointment, I endorse the recommendation as printed.
Thank you, Councillor Marsh. Councillor Ostock, you have your second.
Yes.
Do you wish to speak? No. Would anyone else like to contribute to
that? Just a question, Chair. Administration. In terms of the inflammable cladding,
we don't talk.
Process is the committee made on that? Well, how many buildings are affected? What is progress being made on the rest of the situation?
So,
yeah, Tim, my understanding is there were there's two outstanding buildings. I know that one of them, there are discussions with the building, but there's discussions with both building on plans ongoing. That's
Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to contribute to the debate? No need for writing the debate. Thanks so much. And debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Moving on to item 12.2, the Hutt Community Centre Incorporated Funding Agreement Extension Period. Councillor Chi, you earlier indicated you have declared a point of interest in this debate.
Yes. Yes, I'll be declaring a general conflict of interest. I guess the nature of intergovernmental chamber. I volunteer for the Quality of Aging Centre, which is part of Adelaide Hills Council as a bus driver. At times, Quality of Aging Centre will use the buses that are from the Hutt Community Centre to deliver the service. But I'm not a member of the Hutt or volunteer, so I don't believe I have material to interest in the chamber.
Thank you very much. Ms. Charles, do you have any new information you'd like to bring on the chamber?
Yes, through your acting mayor, there was unfortunately a small typo in the draft resolution. So there was an updated one on the screen with the 30th of June 2026 as the extension. And there was a suggestion from Councillor Herman to include the grant. Funding in that
supported.
There's a number of
them. Yeah, sure. So I'd like to move something in relation to the item. Councillor Chi, I'll need to see you
now
first.
Would
you like to
move? Yeah, the administration have the resolution I said earlier available for the committee.
This is the wording you say players in the elected body, is that correct?
Sorry, my eyes are not as good as I wish.
Please zoom in a little bit, please. So, Councillor Chief, you can read the wording. Marginally?
Yep.
Sorry, we have changed the colour.
Oh, that does sound best. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. You're welcome to speak to your motion.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. The thinking around this, and I guess the deviation from what had come through from the administration, was highlighted through, I guess, understanding the hub services and what it delivers to the community. And I was also privileged enough to have the opportunity to sit in on one of the board meetings recently with Councillor Daniel and Mudge, we got the opportunity to hear a bit more, share a bit more, and understand about what the hub means to this community and to the council. there was a real strong intention behind this, which is to create some additional certainty for the hub, who are really at their core working with people who are facing significant uncertainty. All of the programs they deliver and contribution to the community that they deliver, you know, highly dignified experiences for those who are struggling, whether it be with loneliness, financial, or even access to food. I don't think many could argue that the HUD has demonstrated high levels of proficiency in delivering this to our community. It's a community-driven organisation. It is served around volunteers, and we heard some fantastic narratives around sort of the circular nature of those coming to the HUD for services, having highly positive experiences and connectivity, and then becoming volunteers themselves. It's shown strength in its operational capacity, and it's had, quite good success in seeking grants and finding additional funding for itself. One of the things I think we sort of strongly encourage it to do. The reality of this sector is there is significant resource demands on seeking grants. I think we know that as an organisation, seeing a lot of our other community groups, that finding money through grants is very resource intensive. And I'm acutely aware that many of those grants that the HUD does receive, if not all of them, do not allow for coverage of wages. They're very project-based and quite specific to the work that they're doing. The Hudson organisation exemplifies what I call dignity in the community and the spirit of our community. It's something that can be quite flexible and reactive, something that's not as easily done by council at times because of some of the limitations in our reading and decision-making process. I highlight initiatives such as Spark, Mateship, for igniting human connection, an initiative that's working with the HUD, as well as stakeholders such as University of Adelaide, Monash University, South Australian Government, and many others. And it's shown through the strength of its reputation and brands, its ability to attract initiatives such as that with input and financial support. And I think that can only be achieved by strength of brand in the community, which certainty, financial contribution going forward certainly helps. So I support this motion looking at a two-year funding agreement to provide some additional certainty while also being cognizant. We have many financial considerations going on for us at the moment. We've got many service level reviews to consider. There's a lot of moving parts to this, which is why in deviation to the administration's suggestion of 1 year, I wanted to look at 2 years. I've also included some consideration around CPI because if majority of our funding needs to be used for things like wages, which is not an option with some of the other grants received, I think it's important that we acknowledge that the increased costs of doing business in that, but that should be, as suggested by Councillor Herman, look at through our budget review process. But it's also a motion to give a level of baseline certainty around our contribution. In my mind, I don't think there's any particular likelihood that we're going to need less services from the HUD in our community. I think we are going to require more from them. And I think they have such a strong entrenched connectivity to the community. We would be silly not to respect that and show the support for the services they deliver. So I acknowledge.
Thank you, Councillor Chair. Do I have a seconder?
Yeah.
Any other question? And then I'll go to Councillor Silver.
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. Perhaps this is one for Mr. Lewis, but I know we've discussed this in the past, and I don't think we indexed the funding. And to my mind, I think that had seemed quite financial. Mr. Lewis, are you in any position to...
The previous agreement did not have CPI, that is correct. I think prior to that it did. The funding agreement in 2022, which this is referring to, did not have CPI. That means, in fact, 2022 was 140K and it's still 130.
Yeah, it's sad on that. So I guess that's half answered the question. The point being, is there a correct request from the HUD to CPI?
Ms. Lewis, or project director, Ms. Charlton.
Through you, Acting Mayor. There hasn't been a specific request to the administration, and I guess that's largely because the liaison we've been having with them is around this 12-month extension, and with the view to further liaison around a longer 3-year agreement, and we expect a discussion then for that multi-year agreement around what they would be seeking to ask for in that agreement. So but there hasn't been one directly to us, but there may have been one raised with councillors.
Councillor Selwood,
question.
Councillor Selwood, and then Councillor.
Yes, I was just wondering what's currently projected in the draft long-term financial plan in terms of what the funding moving forward.
Mr. Lawrence.
Through you, Acting Mayor. So the 140 is the next year is in the draft system and going in the long-term financial plan.
So Councillor Hammond and Councillor Martin.
Yeah, thank you for your activity list, Acting Mayor. Yeah, I did know you attended a meeting of the HUD. Could you convey the thrust of that meeting?
The broad-ranging discussion, probably the two key areas. One was around them wanting to understand our strategic plan better and what we're currently doing in that space and how we can work with them to deliver on that. And then they also talked a little bit about their strategic plan. Within that, we did talk about their budget pressures and what they've been going through, the cuts from the state government. They did talk and discuss the stresses of lack of certainty within the organisation with respect to funding at the moment or change that have occurred. And probably a big thing for me was how we can ensure that the council and the HUD work together over this next 6 to 12 months, both with respect to like their strategic plan and just seeing how we can share information better around the different activities that both groups are doing. So that was a fairly broad ranging discussion.
Thank you.
Councillor Parker.
Actually, that's fine.
Sure. Councillor Lunch.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I guess my question is to the mover. Have you consulted with the HUT on this and whether this provides them with the degree of certainty that they're looking for?
Councillor Sheridan.
Yes, I was able to speak with Bernadette and Deb from the HUT this afternoon. Talked about the motion that was before the chamber, which they were not completely across what was coming. And I offloaded some ideas that I had and asked whether those options would provide the certainty they're looking for, as well as be acceptable to the HUT going forward and aligned with their thinking. They took the opportunity to make a phone call to the chair.
Do you just want to articulate their roles within the HUD?
Get the official ones.
Okay, it's the executive officer.
Executive officer, and I think let's see here. Sorry, I don't have any of the titles on the
internet. Sorry. Continue.
But I guess probably the more important one, they did contact the chair who acknowledged that although that was not meaning before, and that they were able to have that conversation, there's an absolute support of the concept and the detail of the motion we have before you.
Thank you, Councillor Scott.
Thank you. Let's go to the report. Been talk about certainty, extending the agreement and things of that nature. The officer's recommendation.
Sorry, just to check, you were asking a question?
Yes, I am. Yeah. The officer's recommendation talks about extending the current agreement for 1 year to align with the service review that is being or going to be initiated with respect to the delivery of community programs across the entire council area. Is it envisaged that engagement would occur during that 12-month period as proposed by the officer's recommendation with the HUD?
Reacting, Mayor, yes, the intention was that we would do a review of the way we deliver our community programs, and then, you know, aim to be liaising with the HUT sort of towards the end of this year, early next year, to feeding anything that came out of that review, whether it's around strategic priorities or requirements or conditions or particular services that we may like the hub to focus on with the funding, to then develop a multi-year agreement going forward.
And if this motion goes through that has been proposed by Councillor Cheetah, what you've just said then would not be able to occur. Would it be able to occur?
Through you, Acting Mayor, my read of the proposed motion says that the conditions of the current agreement remain unchanged, and there is a variation clause in the current agreement that requires further negotiation between the parties and then further agreement. So I think that if you extend for 2 years, it will be within the current terms, the agreement that we have. So I think it would be that any outcomes of the review would need to wait until the end of the 2 year period before they can be factored in.
Thank you for that.
So you can only debate if you're second year.
No, I'm not debating, I'm asking another question.
Okay, we'll make it the last one.
Thank you. The previous agreement was for 3 years from 2022 to 2025. My question is the administration able to comment on what the cash reserves for the HUP was in 2022, 2023, 2024, and now in 2025? I'm interested in, I have in the back of my mind years ago, when I asked a similar question, it was around 300,000 in cash reserves. My understanding now is that it's about 500,000 in 2025 in cash reserves. Would the administration be in a position to comment on that?
I will say that I'm aware that they've been running, they did articulate that there's been a deficit, so I can't imagine the cash reserves will be coming up.
They are okay. Thank you.
Well,
there's
some
contact. All right, Gary, Mr. Lewis. Thanks. Through the chair, I believe they do have significant figures. I see cash balance, cash in, cash equivalents is over 140, their receivables around 50, and their financial assets, which I would take to be either loan or some form of investment of over 350. So in total, it's around 150,000.
That's in 2025.
I mean, that's June 24. That's the financial statements. We don't need share with this.
So $500,000 in liquid assets.
Yes.
All right. So just please, we've got a lot of questions. So we'll move things along. Would anyone like to second Councillor Cheetah's motion? Councillor Yandon?
I'll just second for the part.
Okay, do you want to debate anyone? That's
kind of it.
I'll reset my debate it then.
Would anyone like to debate the item, voting them if it doesn't get up to the debate? Yes, Councillor Parkin.
I'll debate it, debate it for the sake of debate.
Thank you.
Why not? Seeing as it's been seconded for the sake of debate. So look, I would just like to so that I approve the sentiment of this motion and of Councillor Cheetah's support HUP and agree that it is a really worthy organisation, and I respect his desire to provide certainty. I didn't feel I could second even before I heard about the cash reserves, just because I didn't feel I knew enough about. I remember a few years ago a council motion around the HUT. Limiting increased funding and moving that the HUT explore some alternate funding. And I don't feel that we have evidence of what that funding is or how that funding has contributed to the current cash reserves. So for me, I feel like I would want more information about how the HUT has explored the things we asked it to explore and what the results have been. For that, and I would assume that that would come out in the review that Ms. Charlton is suggesting at the end of next year. So I can't support this motion, but I do support the sentiment.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to the motion? Thanks so much.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yeah, look, I was at the meeting the other week with the HUP board and fully endorse everything they do. And one of the things that was discussed is there may be some additional services that they can provide to the community that the council may wish to support. If we decide that our strategic plan forces us down more of a path towards more community capacity, which I suspect it does. My concern with this particular motion is that I don't think it provides the sort of the certainty that the HUT is seeking. And I also endorse the whole concept of service review. And I think this needs to be added into the mix of all of the services that we're reviewing in light of our new strategic plan. So I actually think the strategy that the administration has come up with in delaying the funding, extending the funding agreement for 1 year, is a better course of action. And to a certain extent, with a view to putting a funding agreement which lasts 3 years beyond that, I think that's actually more capacity to provide them with the level of, there's never such thing as certainty, but some more guarantees on what their funding is going to be. So I don't support this motion, and I will potentially support the original motion.
Thank you, Councillor Mudge. Councillor Brown?
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Machin, for the motion, and for the elected members' contribution to the debate. Non-reflectional, I think the Chamber should not support this motion, not because we don't support the HUT. Of course we do. I think the HUT should rest assured that this Chamber will support their activities because they're such good operators, but I don't think we should tie the hands of the administration in the process of reviewing these. And in fact, as Councillor May says, we may support different and or more services from the HUT. But I think we should just keep everything open, and we can assure the HUT that they will be supported in the future, but not through this motion. I think we should just do the 12 months funding.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak? So,
I'll be brief. I support the concept of a secure future. They have to make plans for more than 12 months. And I recall the Adelaide Tourism Board came in for more than a 12 month period of their funding agreements. So there is merit in the argument for longer one. I suppose I'll have a question. CEO, can you assure the Chamber that the review of community centres and their functions will be completed so that the new arrangement can be implemented on the 1st of July 2026, after which time the Chamber may wish to consider a longer term arrangement?
Yeah,
thank you. Question through you, Acting Mayor. Yes, I can assure you it's one of Jess's KPIs now.
All right,
thanks.
No one else? Okay, Councillor Chair, you're right with the line.
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. There's a couple of points on the debate that played out, and some context on the cash holdings and asset holdings, the HUT. In their annual report, and it's their AGM, and I think it may have got circulated as well to the elected body. They have been divesting some of the assets that they have to provide additional cash reserves for certainty. So they have done that for themselves. One of the main assets they talked about was a shared pot. These are bequests and properties that have been left to the HUT that have a few fins in the pie, so that money does get spread around. But they have been reducing in their cash holdings for the last 3 years and have been topping it up through divestiture that will run out eventually. I think they have demonstrated, as was mentioned by Councillor Park, about needing to look for additional funding again in their annual report. They talk about all the grants that they've looked for, all the grants that they have received. I have no doubt on the efforts to exhaust the ability to receive grant funding, which is why
we are still the key funding partner because the grants just do not cut it, no matter how much effort we put into that. And you do start to reach capacity for being able to get grants from a resource perspective. We also know, yes, some of the opportunities with the state government aren't drawing up. So we are the only provider of any level of certainty for this organisation. I was looking for an additional year, 1 year. I was looking for a whole new 3-year funding agreement. And the reason for that was an absolute consideration of the reviews that are coming up, which is why it is mentioned in the motion. And it really was, to Councillor Mudge's point, actually around providing a base level of funding. I think I spoke in the initial part of my debate about a desire to, low expectation that the HUD is going to reduce in its services or the demand that it's going to have. I suspect with a high likelihood we're going to need to increase our support down the line, even at the conclusion of that review. But I'm looking at the here and now, the situation that is in the here and now. So I do still support the motion, but I think we're in for the contributions.
Have the debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate.
Awesome.
That's the case. Declare the motion lost. And the HUT does need some level of certainty. So, Councillor Mudge, what would you like to move?
I'd like to move the motions to the original agenda.
Councillor Stott, you're happy to second?
Yes, I am.
Assume no debate, given that we've already sort of debated the topic.
I was just going to tweak the motion a little bit. With the new three, I'll read it out, see if the mover's happy with it. New three would read, Council notes that in addition...
Just hold on. Does the administration have this right?
So I send it over.
Yeah, so just give them over. They can bring it up and then we'll just read it. You said it has to be an amendment. Boy, it could be a variation.
Variation.
Just let me see the word.
Yes. What that says to members who might have trouble focusing on it is that council notes that in addition to the back at the word untied, grant of $140,000, council provides additional support of approximately $26,000 for the operation of two community buses and a further $11,500 for the coordinating home support programs.
Sure. Let's see if they need to accept the variation first. So, firstly, mover,
I'll tell you accept the variation.
I'm assuming it's correct.
Yes, it's in from the report.
It's from the report. It's just a
status fine. Yeah.
And Councillor Stock, have you said to leave the meeting?
Don't want an explanation?
You can now debate it with the law.
Yeah, the reason putting out it is I want the community to know what the total contribution for the operation of the hub. It's not just 140, there are other bits and pieces going. So that is a progression.
Thank you, Councillor Chair.
I just a question on the wording there. It mentions grant of $140,000. Just want to check, is it a grant or is it a contractual, financial contractual agreement?
Okay, so I mean, in that word grant funding.
Well, just a question on
the grant. Yeah, that's all I heard.
And your finance.
So we prefer funding.
That's it. Maybe.
So that's fine. All right, so we can just change the word grant funding. I'm assuming that was part of the variation. Anyone else like to contribute to the debate? No, if you're right, by Councillor Mudge, debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate that he is carried unanimously. We will now move on to item 12.3. Sarah, do you have any new information to provide in relation to this? So, Councillor Selwood, you circulate something. Would you like to move something in relation to this item?
Yes, it's sent away. We're forbidding governance.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I'll prepare that in the kitchen.
Thank you.
All right, let's refocus a little bit. So, Councillor Selwood, you wanted to move option two?
Correct.
Okay, would you like to speak to that motion?
Yes, I would, thank you. So approximately 3 in 5 people with periods have struggled to afford menstrual products, and 1 in 4 have worn a tampon and pad for more than 4 hours in the past year due to cost, after an Australian survey of 153,000 people. That report found that people with periods are still having substantial impact on the ability of women and girls and gender diverse people who menstruate to study, work, and play sport without interruption. There's currently a bill before state parliament which actually would require us to do exactly this, to make sure that public places must have period products in public health centres, community facilities, and libraries. So if that bill were to pass Parliament, we will be required to do this anyway. All Australian states and territories now have policies to provide free pads and tampons in public schools. Earlier this year, a report in the Australian and New Zealand Journal of Public Health concluded that more needs to be done to prevent Australians resorting to desperate solutions for their periods. In 2023, the Victorian government announced plans to expand the initiative to also provide period products via vending machines in public spaces. And the Australian Capital Territory government has also said it will make products available in public health services, courts, and child centres, and any centres that deal with children. A report from the 2024 Commissioner for Children and Young People has provided grants, as is mentioned in the report. And those grants are to raise awareness of period poverty in communities, provide greater access to free period products, provide easier access to toilets and disposal units in community spaces, promote high-quality information and education, and reduce the stigma of menstruation. So Mount Barker Council was a recipient of that grant, and they used it to install period product dispensers in 6 of their public toilets, to provide period packs to community groups and home shops. They gave 2 educational kits to local schools, and they also have a mural, which was a feature in your career, you may have seen, which raises awareness about period poverty, and it's a pretty bright and colourful mural that was painted by the same artist that did the mural at Woodside. So I think this is a really important issue, and it's something that a number of community members have contacted me about since the original motion, asking for us to support doing this. I think option 2 gives us a really good way forward to do it in our more supervised toilets, so that we're not worried about vandalism and things like that. And I really think that $5,000 is not a huge amount in the great scheme of things. So I think this is something that would have massive impact for a very small outlay. So I commend the motion.
Thank you. Would someone like to second the motion? Councillor Osterstoff, would you like to speak to the item?
Just briefly, I think this is a very good motion. Not only is it, as a father of 3 daughters, this is a public health as well as a community service to women in and young girls in our community. And I think this is a very good initiative for the reasons as outlined by Councillor Selwood. Members may note that in nearly all our public toilets, there are another health initiative is a syringe disposal. I see this as a similar sort of public initiative as that initiative that I just spoke of. So I commend the motion.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to the motion? Councillor Herman.
Yes, sure. I oppose it on a process basis. Here we're proposing to spend $5,000 on what I think is a worthy initiative. I don't dispute the intent. What I have a concern about is out of the blue, we're providing, seeking to spend $5,000 in the budget for next year. Now, that's not in the consultation package from memory, so it's an expansion of our current services. The Chamber took the view when we were considering the draft budget that we would not put into the draft budget an increase in service delivery, maintaining status quo. So I don't have an argument for the principle, but I don't agree with the process. I'm contemplating moving a motion about referring again this expenditure of $5,000 into the public consultation process so that we consider this project along with other projects that we get back from the community. And if there is a need or demand out there, I'm sure the public consultation process will demonstrate that.
Thank you, Councillor Cheetah, and then Councillor Parkman.
There's a question. I'm aware this report was on the back of a motion requesting, and I guess it's two part. One, when was that report requested, just to refresh my memory, but also if it's possible to get some feedback from the mover of this motion to whether, which I think was Councillor Silver, the original one, to go, was there an intention to have this information presented prior to the ABP going to consultation?
So it was considered at the meeting on the 12th of November 2024, and then a report regarding trial options to be returned to Council by 1st May 2025.
Gotcha.
That's a part.
Thank you. I'm generally supportive of the trial, but I've got a question relating to the report. So basically, part of the report says, under possible future opportunities, the Commission of the Children and Young People provided period grants of up to $5,000 to raise awareness, reduce stigma, and provide greater access to period products. It does say that this program is not currently running, but Councillor Selwood did mention that these kinds of programs are likely to be, rolled out at a state level. Is that right? Potentially. So what I wanted to ask is whether the administration was aware, or if anyone was aware, of any grants or support that might be available to the council should we decide to move ahead with this.
First I'm happy to talk that the report did mention a couple of the grants. I think one of them was the exact grant that Councillor Sewell referred to, and that's how Mount Barker got their $5,000. Unfortunately, it's not running at this exact point in time. I'm not sure if the administration can let us know whether it's likely to be reopened in the near future.
Through you, and thank you for the question, through you, Acting Mayor. We can find out when, in fact, it will open up again. But in the current circumstances, we haven't been notified.
I did have a good look at the website and didn't see anything that said voting at this time. Councillor Cheetah?
There's a question on the way the administration agreed the motion before us. It's got to approve management of 12 months trial, 2.2. Doesn't have, it's got where the budget would come from. It doesn't have a particular staff date, and does that lead open to interpretation on opportunities for a start date, and that would commence if we might line up with some running changes, or is that seen as a start as soon as possible?
Well, the 0.3 indicates that it would occur in the 2025-26 financial year, so it wouldn't happen prior in the June. Any slides you'd like to contribute to the debate?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I support this. I do take on board Councillor Herman's comments about putting it in the mix. However, I think this one's been on the books since, we've been considering it since 12th of November last year. So it really should have been part of the consideration if we actually had to report a bit earlier. And I think the amount is relatively small. I'm always reticent to use this term, but it's almost a rounding error in our overall $54 million budget. And I agree that it's potentially a large bang for buck implementation. I think it's certainly worth exploring as a trial in those six centres that are proposed. So I'm supportive.
Thank you, Councillor Mudd. If anyone else wants to speak to the item, Councillor Parkman.
Thanks, I'd like to enter the debate. I absolutely support, obviously, the concept behind this. My only concerns are around funding, just because even though, it feels like a rounding error, there are a lot of projects that we are not able to do this year. And I just feel like we need to balance them all. There's things like, the code amendment, there's things that affect huge numbers of the community and that the community are really passionate about. And I feel like this needs to be considered alongside them. It's incredibly important. And I
I absolutely agree that it should happen. I just think it needs to be placed in context. So I don't know how I'm going to vote. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Thanks.
Thanks. Awesome. Anyone else like to contribute? Go back to Councillor Selwood, right at the
line. Thank you everyone for the debate. Councillor Osterstock's comment about public health is really important. There is a campaign at the moment to move discussions around menstruation at schools from sex ed to being a public health or a health subject discussion. So I think that's a really important way to look at it. The report was actually asked for by the 1st of May, and I understand why there's been delays. I'm not criticising the administration for that at all, but it was done with the intention to make sure that we had it before we went out to public consultation for the end of business plan. I'm going to make a cheeky comment as an outgoing councillor. There will be some savings from my allowance over the next month.
Oh, it's very kind.
I could have stayed on council and instead donated this to council so we could get this program going, because I believe in it so much I would have done that. So I won't need to do that because you'll be saving it anyway. So I commend motion.
Thanks, Councillor Phil. Debate close. All those in favour, please indicate.
Those no, against. Principle I can't support.
Okay. So those against, that is carried. Stick to principles, Councillor. Okay, so we'll move on to item 12.4, which is the proposal for adoption of the new community land management plan. For Johnston, Romore, and Barker, Hannah, Sarah, do you have any new information for the chamber? Someone
like to
move something in relation to that item. Councillor
Hammond, what would you like to move? I haven't said this over. I'd like to move it with an amendment that allows for camping subject to the express prior approval of the CEO. Now, I'll explain the reason I'm doing that.
And did they have that wedding?
No, they didn't. I'm considering how I would address it.
Sure.
I did raise it, this with the administration beforehand, that I was unhappy about not having camp. Now, the reason for that is that...
All right, hold on, Councillor. We do need to get the wedding right on screen. Just sorting it out. So if we can just create an additional dot point, please. And if you can just say the word slowly. And...
Yeah. That camping... be provided with the prior express approval, and I'll say of the CEO. Leaves it open for the CEO to
Is there any additional wording you might put in?
No, I think that meets my requirements at this stage.
So do you mean you're saying it can be provided for in the community land management plan?
Yes, in the plan.
Okay, let's just get on it.
I apologize, I didn't have that words.
Okay, just before you speak to that, someone asked the administration, either from a governance perspective or a land management plan perspective, are there any issues with the wording? Absolutely.
Talking behind your back, I think it's...
You can trust them. So we're all very okay with that. Hold on, can someone sit down to it?
Battery.
Sorry.
I'll get the battery because
apologies for that, but it's all a lot to be getting. All right, so Councillor Herman, they do not have a problem with that wording, so if you'd like to speak to the motion.
The reason for it, apparently, as you've been well aware, there is a group for off-road vehicles to park there, and they bring in their own vehicle and chat, so it's excellently and used I won't say the capacity, but on weekends it's very full. Even tonight there are a lot of fans parking, so that's not an issue. The issue with stopping camping, now I can understand the reasons that I got in a response that we would then be obliged to provide toilets and showers and whatever else goes with that, in effect, the caravan park. I don't believe that necessarily is the case. As you know, in the chamber, we're in touch with cancer, and we participated in Walk for Life. Now, the way they raised $96,000 in the last couple of years is that they have a camp out, while schools come together, organised by the Cancer Council, come together, they meet at the Ballina Oval, community group sends a couple of sausages and provide a cup of tea, so there's a fundraising component in that. But the schools that come, they have metropolitan schools, large metropolitan schools, and they camp there. And they use the public toilet. I don't know what they how they wash. Probably school isn't great. So they do pitch their tents in the proper places so they don't puncture underground watering systems. So the way the land management plan is written at the moment, they wouldn't be able to do that. I think that's a major retrograde step backwards. It is safeguarding from stopping, you know, the freeloaders coming in and pitching their tents anywhere, perhaps doing damage and things like that. Because that man over there is the ultimate approval. And I suspect if someone came in on a Friday night, pitched their tent, by the time someone was aware of it, they'd be gone in the morning. So it's not going to stop. It doesn't allow a legal camping, but for an organised event, like the Walk for Life, I think should have the opportunity to go through the proper process to get approval from the CEO before doing that. And it wouldn't place strain on or pressure on the council to provide those ancillary services as toilets and showers. There are public toilets that are available, but it's really the showering. So I commend that motion strongly. Very nice. The chamber can see their way clear the support.
Councillor Silver, next question.
Yes, I have a question, please. I'm just going to go through. If the way it's worded at the moment, does the administration think that that would mean the community management land management plan would provide for the CEO to approve case by case, or that it would be like the plan allows for it?
No, I think it's that my understanding and read of it is that within the plan it would say the CEO can approve.
Okay.
Councillor Parkin?
Thank you. Yes, I also had a question. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask the administration basically their views on that and how much additional administrative burden that could potentially engender. Yeah.
Administration?
Thank you for the question. And through you, Acting Mayor, this is quite infrequent, and as Councillor Herman indicated, it might be once a year or something like that. I'm not sure how, if it is that particular facility or others across our region, but it's workable and it does provide some flexibility to us.
As
yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. Yeah, I thank Councillor Herman for this, but I have a question, and I guess it's because the community land management plan has been written, and I just want to be sure about the implications of that one alteration, presumably that wasn't envisaged by the administration. And so my question is, was this option specifically excluded, and for what reason, or was it simply not considered? And are there any implications that we haven't thought of?
Thanks for the question, and through you, Acting Mayor, it just wasn't so conceived. Yeah, and to Councillor Herman raised.
And it came up in the consultation. How's much? What would you like to hear?
I just wanted to clarify. So this isn't an intention to turn the Johnson Memorial Park into a regular camping ground. It's just an intention to allow the CEO under delegation to from time to time around camping.
Yes, I agree. The reality is we have a community issue and we heard the problems were helping change that.
Stop it.
Councillor Stock, then Councillor Cheetah.
I'll second the motion.
You'd like to speak to it?
No.
Councillor Chair?
My role is now redundant.
Oh, good. Would anyone like to contribute to the debate? That's the motion.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Look, I support this totally. In fact, I was sort of thinking it would be nice to actually address the issue of camping on this area. And I think, I guess it's to a certain extent an oversight, and I'm glad that the people who made representations on the plan actually mentioned that. I think we do have a lack of camping areas, low-cost camping areas in our council district. Everyone can go for the sort of the top sort of tier sort of
Cuddly Creek is very cool.
So, I think it just highlights to me, regardless of what this particular proposal is about, that the council Herman has added into the wants to have added into the plan, it does highlight that we need to continue to look at low cost camping on top of our council district and try to encourage that. Not everyone is so my simple question is proposed.
Yeah, does anyone else wish to contribute? Councillor Herman, no need for a right reply.
The reason that when I raised it with the administration, which I did, they didn't have an objection. The only objection or their comment back was would lead to further changes to a plan to provision of toilets, showers, and water. That's not what's envisaged in that motion. As I say, safeguarded by the CEO. That I acknowledge what council knows. And maybe that's part of the housing strategy.
Yes. All right, with the debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. That's carried unanimously. Let's be thoughtful with our comments, please. All right, 12.5, Dr. Bill, do you have any new information you'd like to provide to the chamber? Someone wants to move something in relation to this item. We did have a workshop on the
other. Yeah, that's pretty.
Someone like second. Motion, Councillor Parkin. Mayor, I'd like to contribute to the debate, please. Okay, the debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Move on to item 12.6, which is our submission to support Council's request to withdraw from the Royal River Flood Management Authority. Dr. Gill, do you have any new information by the Chamber? Now, I was going to say, Councillor, have you turned your mind to the other point?
I have. Turn my mind to it, and I will declare a general point of interest because I'm council's rep on the TFRA and A board.
Mm-hmm.
If I leave the chamber, would you allow me to leave the chamber?
Will I allow you to leave the chamber? That's up to you. Oh, yeah, quorum's fine. Yeah.
And I will leave the chamber.
Of course. Someone like to move something, Councillor Grant, or would you like to move?
The motion is on the screen.
Would you like to speak to it?
No, I don't feel the need to speak at this point.
Councillor Parkin, would you like to speak to the item? You're seconding?
Yeah, I'm seconding. I would really like to speak to it. This is something that has been under consideration by Council for a long period of time. We've had a number of workshops on this. So this is not something that Council is doing thoughtlessly. And I think it is, on balance, the right thing for us to do. And so I support the motion. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yep, Councillor Lynch.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I support this motion wholeheartedly. I think it was kind of the original movers of the motion that sort of put this in train. Probably the only comment I would like to make is maybe the administration under dot point four, which is just minor formatting nomenclature and minor changes, might like to consider adding in some information that we do have flooding problems at times across our district, and we might like to think that we want to prioritise. I think it actually affects our own population, other populations. Not that it's not important, but it's not our part of our brief to do that. So that might be something we might want to put in as another paragraph or a sentence or something. But otherwise, I support it. I think it's a very well put argument, and commend those who authored the submission.
That's a great point. Anyone else like to contribute? Okay, go back to Councillor Grant. No need for a right of reply. Debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate that that is carried unanimously. Could you just get Councillor Herman on the screen? I'm sorry. We will move on to item 4.7, budget review 3. Mr. Lewis, do you have any new information you'd like to provide the chamber?
No.
Someone like to move something in relation to that item, Councillor Hamill, or would you like to move it?
As printed, I'll speak to it.
Sure, briefly.
Budget review 3, instead by the Audit and Risk Committee on Monday a week ago. Just noting that the operating debt ratio is 4.6, and I still have a little way to go to get out of the black, and that in our long-term financial plan is a couple of years away, so we're heading in the right direction. But the budget review also indicated that whilst it's a $2.8 million deficit, did come down a little bit, but at the end of the year prediction is going up to about 3.5. The committee was satisfied that the review had been done with due diligence and legislative compliance. There were various ups and downs, and I invite members to read the supporting documents behind the report. Just some interesting points that I found. There would be additional depreciation in ICT equipment, $517,000. We're all aware of the problem we have with depreciation. And the other one of interest was in salary capitalisation savings. Again, it's one of those three issues that would draw the chamber's attention. So, apart from that, can we commend the motion to the chamber?
Councillor Taylor, would you like to second?
Yes, please.
Would you like to speak to the other? Anyone else like to just speak to this item? Not many for a reply then. Debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate that is carried unanimously. Quarterly council performance report. Ms. Lewis, any information you'd like to provide? Someone like to move something in relation to that item? Councillor Parkin.
I would like to move it, but I also just have some quick questions. Firstly, I'd like to say how much I appreciate it. It's not a question, but that's part of my movement. But I do have a bit of a question around operating initiatives B2008
B2010. Could you just indicate the page?
It is on, it's in the report itself, page 5.
That's what about the big number?
215. Oh God, I don't know. My Adobe doesn't do that.
That's fine. 215.
Thank you. So both of those have got little yellow arrows, which has been, you know, very really nicely designed. So we can see that both of those two have been deferred. And one is the LA Hills subcode amendment, and the other one is the local heritage privately owned planning and design code amendment. These, in my view, are both incredibly important initiatives, which I think are well supported by our community. And they're both there as being deferred. I just wanted to ask the administration on the status of those and when we can expect those to actually get underway.
Through you, Acting Mayor, and thank you for the question. It's largely a resource matter, having undertaken the review of the Community Development Directorate, which has just been partially completed. So once we have recruited key specialists into the roles, we'll be able to steer that work. So I would expect it would commence very early in the next financial year. And there is funding specifically also in the subzone for the next year as well.
Thank you. So I'd like to say the motion.
Or can I speak to the next motion?
sort of the latest paper, yes.
So now that I've had that question asked, I'd like to probably speak to it. I would also like to, this is probably, I think, maybe the fourth year of the Quarterly Council Performance Report, and I just wanted to basically thank staff for it and highlight the fact that it is actually one of the only ways that we as an elected body or the general residents of the LA Hills Council can actually get a really good ongoing idea of what projects we've got, what's going on, what status there are of those particular projects without us having to, you know, Google or, you know, reach out to a councillor or reach out to a member of staff. I think the report's really well designed and I think it's getting better. I really like the little icons, so it just it's really helpful. I look at it every single quarter. I wish we could make more of it. I don't know how we do that because I actually think it's a really good resource and I think it explains really well some of the really good things that we're doing, some of the projects that we've got. So obviously, I commend the motion and I would like to thank staff for this report and thank you for that update. Jess.
Thank you, Councillor Barton. So I'd like to second the motion. Yeah, Councillor Bennett, you want to speak to?
Yeah, just briefly, again, your Budget Committee found it extremely useful. Thank you, staff, for the work they put into it. It's not a whole small task. But I'd like to speak to members of the Chamber, if I may. If you look at page 221, one of the targets we have in there is council member attendance at ordinary and special meetings. We set ourselves a target of 90%. We're one of the few targets that haven't met our target. One of our few projects, 73%, as against the target of 90%. Personally, I find that a bit embarrassing. Just leave it at that.
Councillor Herman, see how we go moving forward. Anyone else like to contribute to the debate? Okay, the debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. It is carried unanimously. We have no administration reports, no correspondence, and noting. Do we have any questions without notice? There being no questions without notice, we have any motions without notice? I'm not aware of any. Councillor Herman,
if you do, I'll step that on the administration.
Taking into account the guiding principles, I am happy to accept that motion without a notice. If you'd like to speak to it,
it's just maybe I might, but could add in the request for restoration funding from SAPC. Wasn't sure who they were representing tonight.
Yes,
it was SAPC. The 2016 be considered as part of the public consultation process within the public. Right. The reason I did that, when I asked the acting mayor, like, to move. I've made it come in tonight and talk to it.
Okay, so just pause for a second. Dr. Google might ask a clarifying question regarding the wording.
Yeah.
I'm just recommending that are you referring the deputation that they gave to the consultation?
No, I'm good. Yes.
That's
yes.
So maybe we can change the word request to deputation. Maybe within the motion itself. I mean, ultimately, I think it's the same thing. It's just. Something to be considered as part of the public consultation process, so it'd be considered a submission. That's why I read it. It's not in the final budget. It's saying, consider this. Otherwise, I would not accept it.
Yeah.
Sure.
So the reason that I...
Hold on, just wait a second.
Can I...
Let's wait a second. Yeah, that's what
it is. Yeah. So can I make a suggestion for the restoration of some funding? Because the...
So the deputation request for the... So instead of for consideration, I'm going to say as a submission. So then it's just as considered as a submission as part of an AVP consultation.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I understand what you're saying, Councillor Parker, but their request was their request. And if you're referring, you refer it as is.
Yeah.
Okay, so Councillor Hammond?
I think that reflects well. And the reason for that is that they've come up here, they've given the presentation. I think the Chamber should dispose of that deputation by referring it on to the administration consideration of the consultation process. And the administration then can write back to the SATC and say, thank you for coming. We've taken on board what you're saying and we'll consider it in due process. It's not taking anything. It's not suggesting they get or don't get the funds. At least they'll get a good hearing in that public consultation process with, I'll say, other competing priorities. Looking for a seconder and support.
Councillor
Parker.
Thank you, yes, for that change wording. I would like to second it and I'd like to speak to it as well.
Sure.
I'd like to note that the SATC, as part of their submission, offered to waive some of the fees that they have traditionally charged councils, including us, for the privilege of hosting the TDU. And my recollection of some of our previous workshops around budget is that those fees were really one of the major causes of concern that we have noted. My feeling is that the SATC this evening indicated that they would be very generous in suggesting that they might waive that. And I think that potentially comes very close to addressing a lot of the concerns we had. So I commend the motion and I look forward to seeing what that public consultation process brings. Thank you.
Councillor.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Look, I had a question. What about the supporting letters? Did they also be included in that? And also, I think there was an additional supporting letter circulated as well. Yeah, all of those will be included in
that.
Yes, well, thank you for on to the administration.
So. Yeah, that's really excellent. And it'd be good if we could have an acknowledgement of that to all of those individuals that we've considered them and we're considering them as part of that annual business plan and budget process. Yeah, look, I support this motion without notice wholeheartedly. I think this is definitely something we need to consider putting back into our budget as was presented tonight. It does bring a significant benefit to our region. It would be a shame to lose it. So we should definitely consider it.
Councillor Chair.
Yeah, I'll be supporting this motion in terms of bringing that to consideration. But I guess I just want to highlight the deputation we received today, that there were statements made around this is a free event. And in my mind, there's still, in our deliberations and when we make a decision on this, that, you know, 80,000 or less around that mark of ratepayer money is not free. But I will be supporting this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Cheever. Councillor Grant.
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. I thank everyone for the contribution. I don't have any objection to this motion. Everything should be considered in the consultation process, but a reminder, elected members, that we've discussed this in workshops when we decided all the funding. I don't think the fact that we negotiated the exemption from start and finish fees, which I think was excellent work by the administration, that doesn't indicate we don't support the event. That's simply something we negotiated. Of course, we support the event. The event will happen in the Adelaide Hills Council area, and I'm sure there will be starts and ends of events within our area regardless. So I don't think any suggestion should be made that we don't support the event. I think it's simply a matter of how much of our ratepayers' money goes towards it. And let's face it, they do have extremely financial backup. We've got our own issues. So, I think go into the mix and we'll see what happens. But I don't think we have to run scared because we've had a fantastic presentation about a fantastic event. It just has to go into the mix with all the other worthwhile matters that council does.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to contribute? Councillor Herman, a rural flood debate proposal. Those in favour, please indicate that is carried unanimously. Move on to reports. As indicated in the email, I thought I would speak a little bit about the OGM. There are a couple of interesting points. One is that there was a message from the minister and it explicitly stated that the elections will occur in November next year, so there will be no shift. I know that was discussed from the cards a little bit, but I anticipate if there's any legislative changes that they may adjust it for the next one. I'll anticipate it'll probably be 3 years without a push out further. I'll bring ahead a motion regarding funding of community centres. It's an interesting one. There's only with only state that does not fund 100% of community centres. There's only we only fund 5 out of 10. And it was strange because it wasn't a unanimous decision. So the motion itself was to undertake research and then use that to advocate for 100% of funding. And some people expressed, or some councils expressed concern of saying that we're going to go advocate prior to doing the research. I thought it was pretty obvious that, you know, we need to fix this problem. So ultimately it was supported, but it was interesting that it wasn't unanimous. And probably the only other point I'll make is that we had a financial sustainability workshop and that explored things like federal assistance grant, and they talked about the inequities which currently exist. For example, we receive a lower proportion of the funds relative to our population. And then within that, they explored, okay, within councils in South Australia, how that's distributed and trying to bring about more equity in that process. I do want to get my hands onto the presentation itself because I think it was really insightful and interesting. They also ran some mentees, so they provided some potential pathways forward as to how they could bring about greater equity. And I guess the highlight, the challenge that we all know that's existed is there was no clear agreement. Like, I mean, it wasn't a vote with Menti, but it was quite even across the different options because different councils have different worries and being affected in different ways. So I just think that highlights the complexity of that issue moving forward. But it certainly did make it clear that we are underfunded relative to some of the other states. And because I didn't mention in my opening remarks, you know, I was talking about other factors, I just thought I would flag to upcoming council things, one being the boundary change information session on Thursday evening, which I'm looking forward to, Innovate RAP launch on the weekend, which I'm very much looking forward to. It's really exciting. So thank you. We just scroll down. We don't have any reports from, as I said, would you like to say anything? The last meeting about
what we were attending. Yeah, actually, I wouldn't mind talking briefly about the SES where Orange Day we went to on the 21st of May. The units that overlap our council area were all there, and it was really good to be able to talk to them. They do feel like they get forgotten about in our council area compared to CFS. So it was really great to be able to go and talk to those units about, you know, that we do support the work they're doing. We think that they are important in our council, even though none of the units are based in our area. There are 3 units that cover our area.
Thank you. So we don't have any reports from external organisations. CEO.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Just a very quick update. I've been focusing a lot on the boundary change proposal and working with the team on our presentation questions and answers for Thursday night. One other just very quick update. Sedgwick SA, the inspector of Sedgwick SA, has advised us that he's closed the file and there's no further action as far as the inspector is concerned.
Thank you. No questions of the CEO? Yeah, we'll move on. Reports of committees. We only have one, which is the Audit Committee 18.2. So I'd like to move some in relation to that. It's just Councillor Herman, Councillor Richard. Do I have a seconder? No, Councillor Parkin. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Okay, we move on to confidential items. Before we begin that, I'd like to suggest a 10-minute adjournment. The administration did ask for 10, so 5 is fine. All right. 5 minutes, if people have 5. That's all done up to you. Okay. Councillor Herman, you have to move that.
Yeah.
Councillor Silver, second. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Come back to follow. Before we do anything, we obviously need to go into confidence to consider item 19.1. Councillor Grant, you're happy to move into confidence.
We just said move on that.
Yeah, sorry, it's a change from. Yes. The meeting to. Someone says no. Councillor Cheater, all those in favour, please indicate. It's just going to confidence. That's carried down. So if we leave the place.